So you are one of the mentors for Whangaroa Talent Factory this year.
Yeah,
and you've
right.
been working this week with all the young people doing the music. So how was that? Because you haven't done that sort of thing before. Or you kind of have. You have done that sort of thing before. It was the others who hadn't done it before.
Yeah, not in that context, though.
Not in that context.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was beautiful. It was such an amazing opportunity, and I was so blown away by the talent. And I just think what Brian and Naomi are doing at the yard, sharing all their gifts that they've collected up over the years with all the tamariki and bringing up the next generation of music here in Whangaroa, I think that's really amazing and inspiring.
Yeah.
But I do tutor a bit of music, so a lot of those kids I already knew from that context, but it's really different when they're in a venue on stage and all lit up like that.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that we're trying to offer is like the full professional experience for them to see what that's like.
Yeah.
And so what sort of advice do you guys end up giving them?
We kind of, well, first we just listen to them really deeply and, you know, musical advice in terms of their instrumentation and vocals and that technical stuff. But mostly it's around the feel and the stage presence and how to really be in that space and make the most of it, because that's the hard part that you don't really get taught in other places.
Especially if they've come from kind of playing in a garage or playing in their bedroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Then,
and some of them are really serious and they have real dreams about taking music into the world and coming from a place of having done that a little bit myself, and with the other mentors we're able to just show them some pathways and some options that are right there for them. So that's cool,
and I think they made some good connections with you guys as well. Some of those kids I knew or some I've seen perform before. But I didn't know Wiramu, and I didn't even get to see him. Like, I was there, for people who don't know, I was there like grabbing notes about the kids so we could put some publicity out. But what was Wiramu's performance like?
I was so blown away by his performance. And I kind of knew all the other kids. He's a real poet, and he's got a lot of style and originality and, incredible hip-hop artist. I'm really excited.
And it's funny because he came straight in. He's only 16, but he's working, and came straight in from his work on the farm.
Yeah.
Like, all still dressed for work.
Yeah, with his red bands on.
Yeah, and all that. I didn't hear that. I had to listen to his, because he's got a track on Spotify.
Yeah.
And I thought, for a guy of his age, the lyrics, I could hear, like, I'm not a hip-hop guy, but I could hear the sophistication of what he was doing for his age. I thought that, it was really awesome.
Internal, right. He produced that track himself.
Yeah.
So that's also a really incredible thing.
In class, I heard him say, he got in trouble for working on it in class. So it's really funny.
Yeah.
But it's, when a passion's a passion, I guess.
Absolutely.
That's what you got. So tell us a little bit about yourself, like just the music for you. I've seen you perform at the Yard.
Cool.
And you've been performing other places. Just tell us a little bit about what you do, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Musically.
Yeah.
Well, I started playing guitar when I was about 14. It was a bit of a lifesaver for me. It was a waka that carried me through lots of crazy times.
Okay.
And kind of became obsessed, got really into metal and technical things and classical guitar and just really nerding out with music over the years. But I was always way too shy to perform, and I never thought of myself as a singer, although I've always been a writer. I've always loved poetry and like writing as an artistic medium. It took me a long time to put it all together. I wrote a lot of songs for myself and played it in my bedroom a lot for many, many years and many hours. And it was only kind of towards my mid-20s that I started to be recognized by my peers, actually. It was people who I was close to kind of called me into the drop, if you like.
Yeah.
They were like, what are you doing? You know, like, that's awesome. I might let out a song or something, you know, be really shy. And then we're having a jam and with some people, and then I'll just kind of let a little bit slip out. And then, it was received.
A bit of your original.
It was really well received by people that I love and respect. And they were quite persistent about encouraging me. So that was kind of the kick up the bum, I guess.
That's important, because there's kids around town who I know who could be performing at Whangaroa Talent Factory, but I know they're too shy to come and do it. And it would be awesome to see them, but I guess, like, you know, your story, sometimes it can just take a while.
Yeah, there's a readiness. There is, and it's...
Were you generally like a confident person or an unconfident person at that age?
In some ways, I was confident, but also had a very, like, a very shy aspect as well.
Yeah.
So that shyness, I think not many people really knew who I really am because I have kind of a, you know, a quite a nomadic and background.
Yeah, you were just saying to me off the air, like, you lived, your parents took you many places around the world while you were growing up.
Yeah, and I think if you're not, like, if you don't, if you're not local anywhere, and those questions that everybody sort of takes for granted, is like, hey, how are you going? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. It's like these things that when you don't actually have a straightforward answer for them, which actually quite a lot of people in the world don't.
So what did you say when people said, where are you from? Like, you're in your early 20s or your late
teens?
Yeah,
so back then, I might just say, I might just pick a place. Pick the last place that I lived in and just say that. Yeah. Or the place where I live now and just say that.
No, I, like, my father was quite an ambitious school principal, so we every few years we were shifting town. And it gets harder as you get older.
Mm.
It's really easy as a little kid. You make friends with the next little kid who's right there. But
It's those teenage years, where you have that instinct to find your tribe. Where it becomes a little bit more challenging, I think.
But also suddenly once you've left school, it becomes easier again.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed at university. Yeah. I was surprised how – I was really was quite shocked at how friendly people were as soon as we got out of school. Yeah. Anyway, that's a whole other story. So you talked about learning to play the guitar was kind of a saving grace of your life before. Yeah. What was that about? I'm not digging for details.
No.
What did it do for you, really?
Well, I think that music is really healing. Oro is really healing. And so that's one aspect of it. Also the subculture, you know, like the passion that comes with playing music. And you find other people that love music as much as you love music. And it kind of binds us all together.
Yeah.
And, you know, those times that are hard in life, you can just play, like, you know, I'll put on How the West Was Won, this live album by Led Zeppelin that my friend had burned onto a CD for me, and blast it, you know, and, you know, kind of try to shred along with it, and, you know, it just provides like a safe place where you can fully express and feel everything.
So was music happening a lot in the house when you were growing up?
My dad's a musician.
Oh, there we go.
So so both my parents are very passionate about music. So my dad was really into, like, rock and blues and metal and classical music, and my mum was into, like, roots and soul and hip-hop and sort of Afro music.
Man, you're getting the whole spectrum.
Yeah, and also, like, progressive, like, really crazy progressive music, and, so I got a very musical place.
That's a contrast to my upbringing, but anyway, we won't go into that. It wasn't so varied with the... Yeah, one thing I've noticed, actually, you mentioned your father was into, like, metal and classical, and I found that a lot of, there's the commonality, the drama or something, I don't know, but there seems to be a lot of people like both.
I think that, metal is actually, I would say, is kind of a more contemporary translation of the movements of classical music, like if you think of the structure of classical music and the way it moves and the kind of epic virtuoso nature of it and how it goes from really subtle to really huge. And those dynamics are kind of the same. And also, like, the technical aspect, like, both genres really push the envelope in terms of playing instruments. Kind of satisfies that.
So is guitar the only thing you play?
That's my main instrument, but no, I'd like to play, you know, whatever's around.
Okay.
But mostly string things.
Yeah.
So I have, like, a mandolin and a harp and, I guess.
And what's your music about?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Many things. I think, so many things. If I was going to try and create, like, express a common thread of it, it would probably be translating the nature of existence into some kind of receivable form or expressible form, especially the tribulations, you know, the tribulations. I never wrote music. I've never written music to be heard. All my music I've written so far has been for myself, to heal myself and kind of create a bridge for myself to get from one place to the other, or to understand something, or to translate something that I needed translation. And there's some medicine in that. So I think that's the common thread, is that yeah, that process.
I don't usually interview people who make music that wasn't made to be heard.
Yeah.
That wasn't the intention. I guess normally that's why people end up in here, because they want it to be heard.
Yeah.
Are you letting it be heard, or have you got songs that you literally never play anyone else?
There are songs that I've literally never played anyone else, for sure. But I'm currently in the process of making an album with Nico Te Huki, Casual Healing. So he's
another mentor.
Yeah, and he's moved up to Whangaroa to partly to help me produce my album. And so all of these songs that I've been playing in my bedroom for all these years are going to be released into the world at some point quite soon, hopefully.
So how do you go from the place of it's just you and your guitar, and then you're producing something, presuming you're going to have, you know, bass guitar, drums, maybe some keyboards of some kind, or you know, like I don't even know. Like, how do you take the song from there to there?
It depends on the song. I feel like the Waiata themselves have their own sort of path, if you like, or trajectory.
Yeah.
Sometimes it kind of unfolds before you and it has its own path and people just show up, you know, and and it just happens. You know, it might be in the studio, it might all come out in one go live, one take, or it might be months of doing it layer by layer by layer and really intricate planning and thinking and collaborating with other players and artists. Or, you know, it might just be me and Nico, boom, like have a jam and it just all comes out. So they're all really different.
Not a lot of predetermined.
Some of them I've been thinking about for maybe over a decade of planning, of thinking and imagining and collecting up the people that are going to be a part of it, you know, as well. Like, I want you to play the guitar solo, for example, or like, you're my favorite percussionist that I've had a jam with at this festival one time, like, you know, and you just kind of piece it all together in your head. And other ones, I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. You just kind of let go and just step into the studio and let go and it just unfolds.
And I had a question in my head and it's gone, but I do want to ask about, come back to the mentoring thing, because you're acting as a mentor in this situation for the rangatahi here at Whangaroa Talent Factory. But have you had mentors along the way?
Yes, I've definitely had mentors along the way.
Things are falling off the shelf.
Rocks are falling off the shelf.
I don't know why there was a rock on the windowsill and it just got knocked off. Who put that there? Mentors. Probably Jordan, actually. She does the cleaning here. Yeah,
I've had lots of different kinds of mentors. I think in early days, mentors were people who recognized me. I remember being 10 years old and being in this big jamming circle with all my parents' friends at some party and jumping on this djembe and joining in. And this one wahine, Emma, she is an amazing musician, a recorded artist, and she was just recognized me straight away and she was like, that's your drum, like, and that was my first ever instrument. She's just like, take it, like, this is your path, you know. And she just
and you just felt like you knew what to do.
And my dad has always been, you know, he bought me my first guitar and taught me a few chords and just people along the way that you attract that come to help. Lately a big one has been Jules Blumen, who's a guitarist in lots of groups. A great friend of mine, he taught me a lot about guitar and helped me a lot with doing things. And lots of homies who call you in, like here in Raglan I've found a lot of mentors, people who have really showed up and made space for me.
Is it quite a fertile collection of musicians?
Yeah, there really is.
We were also talking before about stage fright.
And
you said it took you a long time before, you even came out of the bedroom, and a long time before you let people know you'd actually written songs.
Yeah.
So what was it like getting on stage?
So terrifying. Oh my goodness. Yeah, no, stage, I would say, is one of my absolute greatest fears in this life that I've ever felt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a huge journey to overcome that. Yeah, and there were just a few big experiences along the way that really helped me snap out of it, and people as well.
Yeah.
So still talking of mentors, I had this one English teacher in year 13 that really helped me overcome my stage fright, and it was actually through the medium of speech making that he helped me.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember doing that, and my main ambition was to get it done as fast as possible so I could get back and hide at the back of the class.
Yeah. No, he really helped me tell stories, because I've got a lot of stories to tell, but I was always a bit shy.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it was also understanding the nature of your shyness and the nature of your fear, and doing quite a lot of shadow work and really facing yourself and understanding why is that scary in a very intricate way, really unpicking that and spending time with the experiences of being shy and reflecting on them, with doing that work to try and understand yourself so that you're able to get over it.
There almost seems like a contradiction. You're feeling really shy, but you've got to go out and command the audience in a way. Maybe you don't command the audience, I don't know, but you've got to kind of be in charge up there.
Yeah, for me, there were two experiences that really shifted it that come to my mind. One, the Mad Professor, who's an amazing sound system artist, was playing on a Wednesday night. And he came to play at the Yachty on a Wednesday night, and I went down by myself, and he spanned this track, No, 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 that's usually got, that hook that's like, no, 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 you don't love me, that one?
Yeah.
It's a real classic, and I grew up with that song. And he's like, can anyone sing that track? And was bursting, but I was just too shy. And somebody else did it, and they were kind of a little bit drunk, and they did an all right job, but I was feeling it, from the bottom of my toes, and I and I just was kicking myself, I was like, oh, that was such an amazing opportunity, I could have got up there and sung. And so sometimes in life, when you have those missed opportunities, it kind of really snaps you out of it. You realize that it's worth so much more than your fear. Like the experience and the dream and the passion and the voice and your gifts are actually meant for the world, not just for you. And you can really, when those opportunities fly by your eyes and you see that, it's like, whoa, it really kind of hits you. It hits different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was one. And another one was my first ever gig that I ever played any of my songs out loud to people was at the Raglan Old School Art Centre. It was just one of those little community gigs.
Yeah.
Someone had just heard about me and invited me. I didn't pursue it, and I just said, oh, okay.
Is it one of those live and local
things? It was kind of like that, but it was a long time ago, It was down in the bottom in Eva's room, and it was really small. And
intimate sort of stuff. Yeah.
And, so I went along. I'd never done sound check or anything like that. It was so fresh. I had no idea. I'd never, sung into a microphone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I had these songs, and I was so scared, so scared. And I just closed my eyes, and there was no one there to start with, just the musicians themselves who were playing after me. I was starting. And I closed my eyes and went into this song and let go, and when I opened my eyes, the space was completely full of people who were all sitting down,
really
silently listening.
How long were you singing for?
Maybe 4 minutes.
And everyone turned up at that.
Yeah, and a lot of friends turned up too, which was really cool to come support. They'd heard whispers in the wind, and a friend had rustled some people up and come there. And I was really shocked. I had this that moment where your stomach falls.
Yeah,
it's like when you've it feels like you've just dropped off a cliff or something, or is just, you've just fallen, and that feeling of adrenaline. And then I realized in that moment, because I kind of had a choice, like either I was about to have a stage fright episode where I just freeze. and shake and feel sick and that kind of thing, physical fear where you're just kind of annihilated by it and you don't have a choice. Or I was going to get over it, and I realized that all these people, they wouldn't come and crowd around and sit at my feet silently if I was walking down the street. That really had nothing to do with me.
Mm.
I had to get over myself. Well, they weren't coming to see me, Takana, the person.
Yeah.
It was actually the stories and the medicine and the songs. Just like I love music so much. so to other people, and it means so much to us all. It's collective.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just the stigma, which is kind of made up idea of the stage. It's the stage, which is like the symbol of separation of people, but really we're all in it together. And the only reason why we're all in it together at that moment is because we all love music. And so I kind of got over myself, I guess, if you like. Mm. I realized it wasn't really much to do about me, as opposed to this thing that I, this gift I had, I suppose, or this like something I had to give the world, these songs and my experience. And
makes me realize what a challenge that might be, getting some of our teenagers up on stage here, and then their first show might be in the town hall with a couple of hundred people in the full lighting rig and the sound rig. That makes you a little bit more intimidating than what you did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but what I think that's really valuable about this is that there's help all along the way. Mm. I did that on my own, you know. I had to do that on my own. I was just invited and I just had to show up and I just had to do it, and I didn't know how to do it, and there wasn't anyone telling me how to do things, I suppose. Didn't have mentoring on that level of intricacy. It was a lot more subtle, I suppose. So I can see how valuable this is. Like, wow, imagine if I had that when I was younger. Mm. Someone to help me and
Get you over that first hurdle.
Yeah,
on the
and
stage.
recognize and be like, wow, you have, you know, I can see that you're scared, and this helped me when I was scared, and here's some breathing techniques, or here's the kind of tea that you can drink that really helps, or here's some ways of you can anchor yourself when you're looking out at a crowd of people. And there's so many little techniques and rituals that we have as artists that really help. Yeah, I suppose some of us have to go out there and discover it the hard way, and others don't. And so,
it's whatever your journey is.
That's life, eh?
That's your journey. This is kind of what I like about, like, why I'm involved with this. There's like a couple of stories from the first Whangaroa Talent Factory. One of the we're not having prizes this time, but the young woman who won the senior prize last time.
Mm.
Her parents said she was too nervous to even walk across the road when they got out of the car, you know, and I remember seeing her waiting to go on, and she was super nervous, but the emotion produced a performance that people loved. Mm. And I also remember watching, this was on video afterwards, watching, because you know Django, and he played his songs, and he played his last song, and the crowd's like going nuts, like really cheering, and he's like, he's trying to play it cool and stay cool there, and then he just cracks and just gets this huge grin on his face, and he's just, that's him discovering what it's like to have a crowd. I don't know what that's like, but he knows what that's like to have a crowd just like egging him on. So I mean, if you enjoy that sort of thing,
it's a lot of energy.
Do you remember the first time that sort of thing, you got a big crowd response?
I think a part of me kind of blocks it out.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I think it's quite overwhelming for me.
Yeah.
Still, I'm learning how to deal with that. I get quite, it rocks me a little bit. And after a show, I kind of have to go hide and drink some water. And, and people want to come up to you and say things, but I'm
just... Yeah, because they might be ecstatic about the show.
Yeah, and they
really
want to connect
time
with you. And they're like, wow, that song really meant this to me. And it's so beautiful. And you want to honor that because it's such an incredible thing. But it is quite overwhelming if you're shy. But it's a lot of energy. So I think that's also a part of the performance as well, is especially artists that are really good in that space are able to sort of absorb that energy and like wield it in this way that creates this big vibe, and everybody's in that same waka, like really vibing together.
Yeah.
You see really awesome, epic performers are able to wield the energy of the crowd in this way that's like, wow, it's so cool. And then other artists are kind of more shy.
Yeah. It's interesting, like I was watching the mentors. I was just you were the mentors. I was watching past you to the ones performing on Monday, and I was just in the back. But one of the boys who was the lead singer, he was doing a song where you couldn't do it in a half-hearted way, and you couldn't do it in a shy, you couldn't hold back at all.
No.
But he wasn't.
No.
And it was, and I was almost relieved because I was kind of worried, you know, like, it's not something you can do, you can half do.
No.
So I guess he's ready to go.
Yeah, that's amazing seeing those kids put themselves in that position, you know, where they're picking these songs and creating these songs that are full send it songs, you know.
Like,
you know, if you don't do it with full expression and all the feels and heart cracked right open and soul on the outside, then it's not, you're not, you know, it doesn't sound, you're not singing the song as the song is meant to be sung.
Yeah.
Have you
found yourself doing that? Like making the mistake of not putting yourself into it sometimes because you're so shy? Or
Yeah, for sure. Or maybe go in and out of it over the course of a gig.
Oh, really?
It's taken me a long time to get to that place of letting go. Yeah, and a lot of the mentoring I'm focusing on that is helping the kids understand that the feel is the tahi, you know, is the place. Mm. That even if you sing out of tune or mess up your chord or go out of time, if you've got the soul, it really doesn't matter. Everybody will be totally with you and mesmerize and really feel it.
Yeah.
So whatever you're feeling, everyone else will feel, and that's kind of, it's art.
Yeah, don't grimace and feel the need to apologize.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Never apologize on stage, eh?
Yeah.
I think that's got to be a rule.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
And I mean, everyone in this country who does music also has a day job. So I always like to check in. What's your day job and how's that all going?
Yeah, I'm a teacher, kaiako here in Whangaroa.
Yeah.
And that's my, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely love it.
So you're teaching are you still teaching the kids who are at a mainstream school or teaching it off to the side somewhere with
families? Yeah, I'm not teaching at Raglan area at the moment. I'm with a homeschooling collective.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty beautiful.
I presume, a vastly different experience because you haven't got the big infrastructure behind you telling you what you've got to do.
Yeah, there's a vastly different experience.
Yeah.
I guess the core is, working with children in the realms of ako. It's got its, the core truth is there, but the nature of my work is a lot freer and, there's a lot, it's a very different in many ways. And there's challenges in both of those contexts and gifts and others, but I truly love what I do. I have fun every day. I feel like I'm getting, I feel so lucky to be one of the people in the world who, really does what they love.
Yeah.
All the time. So it's cool. I made it.
there are many who don't. And I had to go through that phase before I got to this one.
Yeah. And I'm
doing what I love.
Yeah, I've been in jobs where I really don't love what I do, and it's a pretty hard place to be. I remember that.
Yeah. So I think maybe you have to do that first to understand.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you spend an awful lot of your life at work.
Yeah. The process of liberating yourself.
Yeah.
And taking hold, eh?
Yeah. It's a weird thing to liberate yourself from a job you don't like, but.
Yeah. And it's a bit scary sometimes, acknowledge that. Like, it takes a lot of sacrifices and vulnerability and stepping into the absolute unknown and maybe failing sometimes and being in places that are quite, vulnerable. And
it's like going on stage.
Yeah.
By the sounds of it.
Yeah, but sometimes if you really want that dream, you got to just have a lot of trust.
Have you had times on stage where it's actually gone really wrong?
Yeah.
Just forget them?
Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm lucky that I haven't had any drastically bad situations.
Yeah.
Kind of don't put myself into situations that I wouldn't want to be in as well.
Yeah.
But I've made some big mistakes and had moments like, I remember I was playing at the Yacht Club. I think I was opening for Lost Tribe Aotearoa. That was my first gig at a venue.
Right.
Shot tucks for calling me into the drop.
Yep.
And I remember starting to play this song that was quite an emotionally fraught song, if you like. It came from an experience that was pretty hard. And I just started singing it casually without really checking in with myself. And I got, through the outro and halfway through the intro and halfway through the first verse. And then my body was just like, nah. And I just, honestly, I tried to play the chord and it just turned into like sawdust. It was just like, flum. And I was like, well, my hands don't work. And my voice doesn't work. And it's, my first gig, and there's all these lights on me and this crowd of people. And it's pretty intense venue, everyone's like really
right
close.
Knee and the right knee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, I just said, nope, this song doesn't want to come out. It's not the right time. And just started another one.
That's really interesting. And so you weren't in the right vibe to play it.
It just wasn't my truth in that moment. And I guess I could have maybe pushed through and done like a bad job. But I found that it was less disastrous to own where I was at and show people that. And I had people come, Yeah, I had this group of wahine came up to me afterwards and said that they really respected that, and they thought, like, that's like, they're like, wow, that was really cool that you just owned that and you just decided to, like, not playing that one, gonna play this one.
And you made sense of it too, I think.
Yeah, I just was honest. I just said to the crowd, like, oh, this doesn't feel right, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's good to own it and just be transparent and honest, and then you're safe. Hey, if you're true, then you're safe.
Yeah.
Not pretending.
It's funny. I do like to ask that question about worst gig stories, and sometimes I get a really funny story.
Yeah. No, I don't really have any ones yet.
Yeah,
but
that's cool. Yeah, come back to us when you got one. But I did ask, I asked a comedian once about his worst, and they're always fabulous to ask these questions.
Yeah.
And a guy talked about, he was over somewhere in the Waikato region and made a joke about Huntley.
And
there was a guy from Huntley in the stage, and he pulled a knife on him.
Oh.
So, you know, things could be a lot worse.
Yeah, that could be a lot worse.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite worst gig stories, that one there. Yeah. Hey, folks, we've been talking to Tukana, who's a musician, teacher, and one of the mentors for the Whangarei Talent Factory. Don't forget, it's this Friday, 6 o'clock here in the Town Hall. We've got a group of five, we'll call them five acts, because some of them are individuals, some of them are bands. And really looking forward to it. And you've seen them all play. We're going to have it. You're looking forward to the show?
Haramai, it's going to be an amazing show. Please come and support the local youth. And it's genuinely incredible creations.
Mm.
And it would be awesome to have a great turnout to support everyone. So, come down to the...
And I've been saying that's part of, we're trying to give them the full experience. So they've been talking with you guys about how to do it. And they've got a proper sound system, proper lighting.
Yeah.
And the community's job is to come along and be the crowd and,
yep.
and support them and give them that big experience.
Yeah.